Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. First thoughts, as we've already established, this is December 2nd. It's a Sunday night, and that was one, insert whatever expletive you want in there,
humdinger
of an episode.
Uh-huh, it was. It was pretty awesome.
Really, really great. And so we're going to kind of go through our thoughts about it. But it just, as an overview, it seemed like all the cards they were kind of holding back, they played tonight.
Yeah.
It was really just incredible.
Yeah, it was. So, it was a very good episode.
But all the different things that I had kind of been waiting for, I saw tonight. And, you know, all the different relationships and all that. Everybody kind of played pretty well together. Mm-hmm. The thing is, we didn't see August, and I'm not going to list off things. I wish. But right. We didn't see August. We didn't see Neil. We did see a little bit of Belle, probably.
Tiny bit of Belle.
You know, but anyway, we did see the lie that Belle was not dead in Fairy Tale Land.
Which we knew anyway.
She was, right. But I mean, until I see it, I just don't know how far to take certain things. So, but we knew. And, you know, it's very interesting to see that tower. And she was marking off the days of how long she had been there. So,
and the wall was full.
Yeah. And Hook gave the old Luke Skywalker, "I'm here to rescue you" kind of line. That was funny.
Yeah.
And then he changed his mind. And he had heard about this magical weapon to kill Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. Which, so, of course, my natural thought is, okay, that must be the dagger.
Right, right. And when we see Regina, in my opinion, the early part of the episode, she looks a lot like Cora. Mm-hmm. The hairstyle, the dress. And so that will tie in definitely to the end section of the episode when she says, you know, "You are my weakness because I still love you, Mother."
Right, and right.
So, I mean, the sad thing is she didn't love her. She loved her father, but her father, I think, was a pawn to get what she wanted.
I think she saw him as weak, too, by the way. But totally just off topic a little bit, only because it's kind of timely. The other day was, I believe it was Friday, was Eduardo Castro's birthday.
He's the costume designer.
Yeah. And the dress she wore when she met Hook for the first time was stunning. Mm-hmm. Exquisite. I mean, the diamond collar around the back was, oh my gosh. It was just absolutely gorgeous. I was like, oh, he's kind of outdone himself a little bit. That was one of the things I did notice about the costuming tonight, is that it was all just unbelievably beautiful. So, just want to throw that in there.
Yeah. So, we did see more of the person who should kill someone send someone else to kill them. So, we've seen that a couple of times.
Right.
And that's, again, it's very Lost-like, because the man in black could not kill Jacob. Mm-hmm. And so, he connived Ben to do it.
Right.
So we've seen that a lot. But so Hook sent Cora sent Hook to kill Regina, get her heart for Cora. And we did see the reveal. Cora is, in fact, the Queen of Hearts. I think, because I did not see the shawl over her face.
Right.
You know.
Well, and she didn't wear it this time for whatever reason.
Okay.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah, we can pretty much safely say she is the Queen of Hearts. She even said, "I'm the Queen of Hearts. You know, do you think I'm stupid enough to keep my heart where everyone else keeps theirs?"
Yeah.
So her heart, that means her heart's locked up somewhere in a box. Right?
Yep.
So, anyway.
And that also leaves open the opportunity for someone to control her. That would know where it is.
If they would know, yeah, if they knew what that knew where the heart was, they could control her. It also explains away the fact of how did Hook know how to take Aurora's heart, which he did because his hook was enchanted.
Right.
Right.
And you could only take one according to...
One, and that was it. Right. And because he didn't use it on Cora because he couldn't because her heart's not there.
Right.
Interestingly enough, that explains how he was able to use it on Aurora.
A lot of great information tonight, a lot of great reveals, a lot of great stuff. Definitely. It was just, like I said, it was the, you know, and I'm not trying to be a hater and I'm not trying to be, you know, a David Downer, is that some of the episodes were kind of weak on story moving forward information. To me, the Halloween one, and the zombie one, you know, there's these episodes that were kind of thin, but they were kind of saving it for now. This episode, I think, guns blazing. Yeah. So
look, Dr. Will episode, frankly, was, sorry, that was not an intended pun, but frankly, that was kind of just a minor plot point. Very minor plot point as so far, not to say they won't use it in the future, but it was that whole point of Daniel. That was the whole thing of, and all of that was, so she used magic and like you said, I think that was a little thin in plot point. It didn't move the story along.
Right.
It's been an entire episode explaining, you know, one point of why Henry's mad at her, that, you know, he wants her to change. Right.
Yeah.
But the zombie episode, though it did have the zombies in it, and that was a little, made me a little wary at first. They didn't, you know, inundate with zombies, which is good. They didn't make it, you know, completely nuts. They didn't go overboard with it. And it didn't detract from the story, and it, you know,
they listened to the podcast and they kind of backed it off. They said,
"I doubt that.
A whole episode of zombies, we can do it." So,
but anyway,
the
point being is that this episode was pretty stellar.
Yes.
This is definitely one of the better episodes this season. The first few episodes were amazing. The last couple have been really, really good, too.
Yep. So, I wrote in my notes, Rumpel set up Regina again. And if you hear his kind of working with her, saying, now listen, we can't be insured that it's going to be Emma and Snow coming through the portal. We need to make sure that Cora won't come back.
Right, that she can't.
Because I still think that Rumpel wanted to keep David out of commission and also keep Emma out of commission so that he could do whatever he wanted to do. And so he keeps kind of setting up Regina, setting up Emma. So anyway,
he was pretty much back to his evil Rumpel self tonight, and I was kind of surprised and a little disappointed in him. I'm thinking to myself, really, would you be okay with this if Belle knew you were doing this?
Right. And we did hear prove it twice. So Rumpel and Henry.
Yep.
So we you know, and again, the early section of the episode, Regina is trying not to lie.
Regina doesn't want to. Regina really is trying. And she even told Rumpel. She goes, "I'm really trying." You know, she really is making an effort. And I think it's pretty awesome. But she was pretty easily swayed into and convinced well, I shouldn't say easily, but she was convinced by Rumpel to kind of, you know, put some sort of insurance. And his rationale, again, is what I was shocked, because I was like, dude, would Belle be okay with this? Because I guarantee you she would not.
Well,
you know, saying, oh, it's a win-win. It doesn't matter, you know. We can't let whoever come through, because is it really a bad thing if, you know, Snow doesn't come back through and Emma? And then you have your son back all to yourself. I mean, he used all kinds of, you know, little tricks and stuff with her. And that was annoying.
What's interesting is if everybody would work together, I think we could see the coolest thing in the world, because Emma could say, he's lying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Regina couldn't see that because he knows how to work with her.
Well,
you know, we kind of alluded to the fact that maybe they've been, you know, close. Maybe.
Possibly.
So, but anyway, he knows her quite well.
He knows her buttons. He knows how to push them.
Yeah.
And that's why he's a master manipulator.
Yep. So, let's see here. Rumpel Cell. Okay. So, when they got there, mm-hmm. And it closed. One of the things is I never really
It closed because Aurora closed it.
Right. And what was funny was the mechanism to close it, I believe, and I haven't checked, that was inside. Or was it outside?
It was outside the gate itself. Okay. It was in the cave, but it was outside the gate.
Okay. So... So we did see that he had written on the note, Emma, over and over and over. And then
beautiful handwriting too, by the way.
And actually it looked a lot like Regina's diary, as a matter of fact.
Hmm.
So, man, I'm only still on one side. Oh, well.
Anywho,
yeah.
Point being is that he wrote it over and over. And
right.
I knew right then and there, the minute I saw that, I went, okay, that's the ink.
Yeah.
They're not going to find a bottle of it because it's the ink right there. And sure enough, it was.
The interesting thing to me is there was a great conversation about, well, then I'm really not the savior.
Mm-hmm.
Then he plotted this from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was just a pawn. And that's what she called herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is interesting, you know, of am I... You know, the destiny that somebody has, maybe a gift or a calling or whatever, you know, is so, I think sometimes you think, well, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe it's just what people have told me all my life, but maybe I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that conversation. It's like, he set me up and he just, you know, I'm nothing. And you know, we revisited that at the end. When Cora couldn't take her heart.
Right.
And she did, in fact, have magic, and she was, in fact, the savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one thing throughout this episode, is that she still needed validation from people.
Mm-hmm.
She still wasn't believing anything.
Right.
You know, and you know, so we've talked about this all through season one. She needs people like Snow. She needs people like August, especially in season one,
mm-hmm.
to kind of kick her back into play so that she will continue on this path of destiny to be the savior. And now it's really Snow a lot of the time, you know, and I think Charming is for Henry.
Right.
Kind of instilling all these things. It's like, no, in our family, we believe this and this and that. But yeah, at the end... I mean, it took a half a season, but I think now, right now, Emma believes that indeed she is the savior.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, that she believed it at the end of last season, but nope. So
she did, but not completely. I think she believed that, you know, wow, it was coincidental that Henry woke up because she kissed him, but.
So, okay, you called the squid ink, and I thought that, and we talked about it, that it was going to take a special water like Nostos or something
mm-hmm.
to get the ink off of it. But I didn't think that just blowing on it, I didn't put the two together with the magical book
right.
that would kind of enact something.
And the irony is that actually, if I remember correctly, in the opener, it showed Regina blowing the ink on the book to get her magic back.
Right. True.
So we should have kind of picked up on that. That would have been a really good clue.
Now, the interesting thing is, supposedly this squid ink was to capture Korra, right?
No, it was a way to defeat Korra.
Okay, the way to defeat Korra, when actually it just melted the bars away so they could get out.
Right.
And they did ask Rumple. They said, look, you know, you could have got out at any time. No, I was right where I wanted to be. I don't buy that for a second.
I do.
I think that boy was in and around and out and moving around and doing all kinds of stuff. So but that's just
hence, I don't think it kept him. I don't think it froze him. I don't think it, you know, locked him. He was able to move freely however he wanted, whenever he wanted. I'm quite confident of that. Even though the cell was supposedly enchanted.
Right.
I somehow.
And that's another thing, too, is, you know, and this could have been a total MacGuffin, but all this stuff we heard, no, it was magical bars. And we heard that from somebody on the show. It was tweeted out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Jennifer Morrison, I think. That those bars were like alive and there was magical properties to it to keep him in there. And then in the show, they said, this is the most secure place because of the rock formation or the location of it or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Maybe
but anyway,
that's what they thought.
Yeah. So it was nice to see Henry kind of replay what Snow did for, or Mary Margaret did for David, mm-hmm. reading to him.
Right.
So that was kind of a nice mirror.
That was really cute, yeah.
And then we saw the magic wand mm-hmm. that Old Gold had somewhere. It looks like he had at least one, but I kept thinking there was another one he kept putting in a box.
Yeah. I thought I saw a second one in that box.
So he has a collection like Harry Potter or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we saw that, and we saw that it collected the diamonds, and that was the power. Sorry, the power of the magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
But and so Korra somehow enchanted the hook, and we kind of mentioned that. And you know, I wrote, you know, because they were saying, "Look, you're going to go to you know this land where you know my mother." Was sent, and I put Wonderland ? Because yeah, I didn't know, but indeed that's where he went.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, and we had the old two in, two out. So take a dead body, because she won't know that you're trying to plot something here,
right?
You know, I mean that's the first thing she said. Okay, you brought this guy. Who do you think is going to be the one? Oh, me.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. She was totally on to him.
So.
Totally. I mean, kind of think Regina would have thought that through, but she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting that he wore a hood and a cape like Snow White did to sneak in to rescue or see David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In King George's palace.
And there. The Dark One. And
right.
Huh? A lot of them wear hoods and capes to...
Yeah, and those Jedi Knights, you know, Sith Lords and all that. So I kept thinking of all the masked people. I'm not going to name all the movies because then I don't want to get myself in really over my head trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But Eyes Wide Shut, I remember seeing something.
Oh, okay.
I'll just leave it there. Anyhow, so Korra... has no heart. And then we see Aurora kind of being the pawn for her. And then there's the bean.
Sorry. Yeah.
For a split second, I thought that Hook was going to give
Emma the bean. For a minute, I did too.
Yep.
Excuse me. And I thought it was going to be that he was going to give it to her so she could figure out a way to get there too.
And I thought that there was going to be one of those... you know, Snow was going to come up behind and put her hand on her shoulder and say, we're going to be okay. And then Emma would say, yeah, we are. And then turn around and hold up the bean.
And show it to her,
right.
Yeah.
But that's not what
they
did.
That didn't happen.
We're available for writing, so if they if they want to call us, we'll help them out.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, I had a feeling if they were going to bring Snow and Emma home, then they had to be able to figure out a way to get Cora and Hook there too, because you can't just end here.
Now, look, I understand magic. I get it. I suspension of disbelief and everything, but I'm telling you, Cora is the most incredible person. You just wave her hand and bring water, the magical water. Mm-hmm. Into the lake bed.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yep.
If it's just dry and all that.
Right.
Man, I just, anyway. Suspension of disbelief. Okay, got it. And then it was interesting, 28 years ago came up.
Yeah.
So.
No, 28 years later, I thought it said.
Pretty
sure it said 20 years later.
Well, anyway,
20 years later, because it was Rumpel and Regina. That's why it was 28 years later.
Okay. But yeah, Regina and Cora were dressed to me the same black color. And I understand that she was mourning the death of her mother.
Right.
And she thought, but you know, I guess my thing is isn't there a test or something? She just kind of just bought the fact that she was in fact dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, there's no questions about how it happened or anything. So Regina just gets duped everywhere. Everybody in the whole world.
Her emotions run really high. That's why.
Yeah. So,
they do. I mean,
yeah.
Everything she does is fueled by passion or rage.
Yeah. And love is weakness. You know, we heard that again tonight. And, wow, it was kind of funny. I didn't realize what I wrote. I wrote rose again, meaning that she put a rose down.
Yes.
But in fact,
Cora
did rose.
Rise again.
Again. So,
yeah.
If in fact she was dead, but
she wasn't.
And then for a second there, I thought I was watching a Star Wars movie. I thought I was going to see Jar Jar and the Gungans and, you know, those
Jordicas.
Big tanks and all that. Because the barrier looked just like the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it did.
I'm telling you. But that's how some of the land, they said this corner, so that right. is the answer to this this place, this land, this
right.
section was protected from the curse.
Right, and that's how Aurora and Mulan
right.
and Philip and anybody who was in that corner, including Cora and Hook
right.
and all those other people, got trapped in that area without being transported to the curse.
So, and I would imagine it was kind of similar to you can't get out, really, but anyway.
Right. This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yep. And Snow learned magic.
She did, yeah.
Said she watched and learned.
She didn't. She may have learned, I guess, if by watching, but I don't think she learned how to do it. I think that's a different
yep.
story.
The Lake Nostos portal fight was probably one of my top five favorite moments of the episode. That was just so awesome. Just
seriously great moments.
You know, and it was a very very George Lucas esque. Scene, because there was three things going on and they kept cutting back and forth to all the different things
right,
going on
right.
And but yeah, that portal fight was probably up there in my top 10 of all time. Once upon a time, it was just so good. It was just
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
it was really good. I liked it.
So yeah, then Cora, you know, was going to take Snow's heart,
mm-hmm.
and then Emma stepped in, and she tried to take Emma's heart, and it would not
She couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it. And, you know, it's really cool the way she changed it around. She goes, you think love is a weakness, but actually love is a strength. And then it kind of blew back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just the idea that she in a way, I think she broke the curse that said that love is weakness. Because I think that was one of the traps. Is so, you know, love is evil, love is bad. I mean, you play that season one, and if you could transcribe all the script and look up love, man, love took a beating.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, except for true love's kiss and all that. But, you know, in one fell swoop, Emma changed that and said, no, love is a strength. And then it blew, you know, Cora back, and then they got the compass.
And jumped.
And they jumped through. And, you know, I think one of the other interesting moments is, to me, when Gold, you know, held aloft Excalibur, the wand, and the lightning came down, and it looked like it was just kind of a blocking spell, I guess, mm-hmm. to the portal. So they couldn't come through, you know, and the inference was they were going to be destroyed.
Right. Exactly.
So any person or thing that was coming was going to be destroyed.
Right.
And let me pause here just for a second. I haven't talked about this, but it was really strange that when Aurora was coming out of sleep in the last episode, that it looked very much like that kind of portal pulling up or something. It's really strange.
Yeah. It was. It reminded me of the vortex.
Yes.
You know, the magic bean vortex kind of a thing.
Yeah, on the opposite side, but yeah.
Right.
Anyway, we'll set that aside. But I wanted to say that. So, but yeah, just the whole exchange of Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Telling his mom, listen, prove that you are changed. You know, it looks to me like you're kind of falling for something else again, and actually you don't want them to be here. And so I thought one of two things. I thought she was either going to stop this thing, this whatever it was, that Gold and the magic wand started, or that she was going to open up a section at her own peril so they could get through. Or what they did was she basically kind of did a Yoda and kind of pulled it into herself.
She absorbed all that.
Right.
Yeah.
And for a second there, I thought she had died or was very injured.
Yeah, I thought she was close to that, yeah.
And because they did the old shot of when she was behind the well. And but no, I think, you know, that was the one scene that I saw in the sneak peek. And I said of when Henry and she were talking and she was kind of repeating what Rumpel had said to her. And he just basically kind of snapped her out of it, said, no, you're doing this for the wrong reason. If you want to change, you need to prove it and you need to do right now.
Right.
And she did. And so that was pretty cool. And then we saw Mulan put a heart back.
Yeah, that was kind of
cool. So it is possible. And Mulan was not, there wasn't any magic involved.
Nope.
You know what I mean? There wasn't a spell or something, or only one person could do it. So it is possible. And I don't know how they could tell which is which.
No, see, that's the whole thing is I don't know that you could tell which is which.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's just kind of go with the idea that the right heart can only be put in the right person.
That's what I would assume.
So, again.
But you never know. They could put the wrong heart in the wrong person. And what actually works is if the heart is taken out and the person is not dead, then it can be put back. If the heart is taken out and the person is dead, you can't put some other heart in there and replace it.
Okay.
Right? Because that seems to be the theme. Daniel is a prime example.
Right,
his heart was taken out and crushed. He was dead. Putting another heart in him didn't work.
Yeah. So but that was really cool. And they're kind of off on their own little adventure now. So we kind of do see this larger group kind of being split up again, kind of like what we saw at the beginning of this episode where we saw everybody together. But then, you know, Emma and Snow were pulled away in this portal to this other land. And then we meet up with Mulan and Aurora.
Right. Now, here's an interesting prediction that I'm going to make. Since Aurora and Mulan are regular cast members, I predict they're going to find a way to put Mulan and Aurora in Storybook somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory on how they're going to get there. But I'm going to reserve it.
All right. Okay. Now, you know you're going to get a bunch of people. Tell us.
Absolutely.
Tell us.
Nope. Not going to say anything until January.
All right.
See what happens.
Okay. So then we see and I didn't write anything down because I'm just so into the last like 10 minutes. And I know there was a lot of things going on. But we do see a recreation of the Snow White coffin scene with the dwarves in Storybrooke. Around David.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came up and kissed him. And then I saw the really cool moment of Henry. Another one of my favorite scenes was when Emma and Snow came through.
Yes.
And Regina said, "Welcome back."
That was really, well, and Emma saying thank you.
Right.
After Henry said she helped you guys.
Yep.
You know, and then her saying thank you, and then Regina saying welcome back was pretty awesome.
Unfortunately, the promo for the next episode does not seem to carry this through, but, you know, I thought that it would have been nice for Emma and Regina to kind of have a, you know, can we start over?
And maybe we will get to see that. We will.
Right.
We don't know.
You know, because like I said, if everybody takes their spot, I mean, it could be a great, you know, working town, but that's not great drama. I mean, you have to have some type of evil, bad person.
Right, you
do. So we do see Cora and Hook on their way to...
You're skipping ahead again.
I didn't want to forget.
Okay, that's right. We won't forget it. Trust me. So back to the whole mirroring of the coffin scene.
Right.
She wakes David up with the kiss, and just the whole little reunion is very sweet and tender and touching. And then the fact that, you know, Emma goes to Rumpel and says, you did this. You made me the savior kind of thing. And he's like, no, you're the product of your parents, of true love. And then him, you know, telling him that Cora couldn't pull her heart out. That was interesting.
Right.
Because, you know, he's going to tuck that away for a future reference. Then we see them all getting ready to leave. And, you know, Henry and everybody, you know, oh, let's go get, you know, dinner at Granny's. And Regina got left behind. And I think the sad thing is I really honestly felt really badly for Regina. I wanted Emma to turn around or Snow to turn around and go, would you join us?
Right.
I really wanted that to happen. But I have a feeling that that's going to be a little setback for Regina.
Right.
And I kind of hope not. I hope she rises above it. And expresses how much it hurts, but, you know, and then Rumpel, you know, of course, poured salt in the wound.
Sure. Well, I mean, let's talk about it. It's kind of like somebody, I mean, since they compared magic to drugs, let's go there. Let's say someone who's taken drugs, who can't stop, and who has stopped, and their life isn't better. Maybe they've turned good. Maybe somebody... you know, is just angry all the time and then they stop being angry and their life is either as bad or worse now because they've made the right decisions and the right choice. And so I think that's what we saw. We say, look, man, I'm helping everybody else out and now I'm here alone.
Yeah.
Daniel's gone. I have no one. No. I don't have anybody.
Right.
I don't have a job. My position's gone. So it's going to be very interesting to kind of see how things play out. But obviously, you know, with Cora coming to town, the alignment with her is going to be an easy, I think it's easy. It's an easy choice.
Yeah,
she has nothing else. Why not?
Well, and that's the thing is that I think that because this little thing was a last straw, now what's going to happen is when Cora does get to town, Regina is fresh from the memory of Henry walking off and them not inviting her to join them in their little merry little party. She's going to, it's going to sting. Right. And then Cora and Hook are on their horizon. They're coming. And with that being the case, what worries me is that, Regina will try to hook up with her mom and take revenge. Or she'll say no and her mother will do it anyway. You know, she'll tell her mother what's going on. She'll, you know, she'll recognize what's happened. And then she will, Cora will take it upon herself to try and exact revenge. And either Regina will join her or Regina will actually fight against her finally.
Well, I see Belle coming in and calling Gold on the carpet.
I hope she
and
does.
And so I think that's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And
because I was kind of mad at him. He pushed Ruby.
Right, right.
He pushed Ruby out of the way when she was trying to help.
Yeah. And I just, I don't see, I hope they have a storyline for the dwarves.
Yep.
I also hope they have a storyline for the fairies. Because I didn't see, you know, now with supposedly all the diamonds gone.
Yeah.
What next? What do you do?
Look for more diamonds, maybe.
Okay. All right.
That's what I would think.
So this is obviously, you know, one of those things if you're reading a book and you kind of go, man, that chapter, that was just different. Another chapter. Oh, wow. What happened? You know, this is the chapter where you go, man, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, and then, you know, you're going to have to wait a little while for the next chapter. You know, that's okay. I can wait. This was really, really great.
It was. It really was.
So, we're not going to have a live show, but I think we will find some time to record a show. We're not going to do it live, so, you know, send in your emails, mm-hmm. call with your voicemails. We will make some time and get, you know, the analysis show and the, you know, discussing your emails and voicemails and all that. So please send those in. And we will, I'll put that out and then we'll take a break. And So the one thing I'll ask is, you know, we kind of talked about it last year is, and I know it's not a new thing, but if you feel the inclination during this holiday time, maybe you're standing in line to get some coffee or a meal or something, buy somebody's coffee if you feel so inclined. Buy somebody a meal or something. Do something nice for a perfect stranger. That's what we've done now and then, and we need to do more of that. But I was thinking about that the other day, and to me, that's what Christmas is all about: the fun of giving, and then giving to a perfect stranger is like, no, why are you doing this? No, and it's just because. So, all right. So thanks again, everybody, and I want to send big love out to everybody. You know, I know that there's going to be some people that are, sad about Regina, but I think Regina's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know.
I think Henry will help keep her on the straight and narrow, yeah.
So, but anyway, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Please don't get crazy with the shopping and all that. You know, take time to spend time with your family, your friends. What is important to you? at this time of year, you know. And so we've talked about a couple of things, and whatever you do, do that. You know, don't get so focused on, you know, the shopping aspect and the gift aspect, you know. So that's what I will say to you. So we will be putting out one more show. So send in your emails and voicemails. And Lady says big love in her own way. And so do we. So we'll be talking at you soon, guys. Okay?
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.